You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Tuesday, August 23rd. We're talking Cardinals baseball today with Jennifer Langosch, our Cardinals reporter. Jen, as always, thank you for the time. And as of this discussion, the Cardinals at their high water mark of the season, 9 games above 500 at 66 and 57. They've won 6 of their last 7. And, you know, the phrase turning point gets thrown around a little bit too much, a little too liberally. But if you go back, before this streak began, they had that rather embarrassing loss at Wrigley Field 11 days ago, 13-2. Wainwright was simply pounded. It was just an ugly game all the way around. But again, to go back to the turning point phrase or theory, could that game be looked at as, you know, kind of a fresh point, a low point for the Cardinals where they said, okay, it's not going to get any worse than this, and maybe did that spark this recent turnaround, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it could have. It was certainly a low point for Adam Wainwright in a season that he recently described as the worst of his career. You know, I think just as much as that might have been kind of a momentum booster, I think what happened the day after could have been considered a turning point as well. You have a Cubs team that was on a winning streak of 11 straight games with a Cardinals team that had not been able to gain any momentum, and you watch rookie Luke Weaver make his major league debut, handle himself well. Alex Reyes comes in behind him, and the Cardinals steal a come-from-behind victory that day, and that started off a string of 6 wins in 7 games. So, you know, this Cardinals team, though, has continued to play well on the road. It's been one of the consistent themes in a very inconsistent season. The key now, as they come home 9 games above 500, is to play better at the stadium, and certainly an opportunity with the New York Mets in town to bury them a little bit further in the wild card race. But if this is a team, again, that wants to play into and through October, they are going to have to play better on their home turf, and then they had a hard time doing thus far this year.
And it seems so odd that that's been a recurring theme for this Cardinals team, that they, you know, they're playing, they're holding their own on the road. At home there, where they've got, you know, the great fan support as always, and they've been so comfortable in recent years, that has not been the case in 2016 for whatever reason. And Jen, you mentioned the inconsistent and consistent stretches that this team has, and that obviously trickles down to the rotation. Mike Leake in particular, on Sunday, he was a good Mike Leake, a 7th scoreless against the Phillies as the Cardinals win it 9-0. I think it's safe to say that, in my opinion, the biggest enigma in this rotation at times, he's been downright dominant at those back-to-back double-digit K games not all that long ago, but then he follows that up with 3 really brutal starts in a row. So compare for us and contrast good Mike Leake with bad Mike Leake. When he's going well, as he seems to be going now, what is the difference between the two?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's 2 things for him. I mean, what we saw, you know, both in play this weekend in Philadelphia, one is that he doesn't allow innings compound themselves. I mean, this is the guy, there's going to be a lot of balls put in play against him. There's often going to be a lot of base runners. We saw that this weekend in his start, but he was able to work around that and not see a 3-run, a 4-run, a 5-run inning pop up on the scoreboard. And when things have gone wrong for him, oftentimes it's just been one kind of inning that has unraveled, and he's been unable to kind of gain his step back after that. So that was key for him. The other thing, which is a little less in his control, but certainly out there, is the defense played behind him. I mean, we have seen time and time again, this, we're talking about a pitcher who pitches to contact, that a vulnerable infield defense has really hurt him. So if the defense is steady behind him, and if he can work out of those jams, he can be in a very effective starter. But as you mentioned, the inconsistencies have been maddening both Mike Leake and the Cardinals. I mean, one of the reasons he was so desired by this organization was they thought that he could essentially kind of be a replacement for John Lackey in this rotation, a guy who could give them quality starts time and time again. That hasn't been the case to this point. We'll see if that start in Philly can maybe be a springboard for him moving forward, because the Cardinals, you know, with some uncertainty with the 5th spot in their rotation, certainly could use a little bit better like Mike Leake down the stretch.
And another guy we can have a similar discussion about, and we will, is Adam Wainwright. As on Friday night, the Cardinals had that dramatic 4-3 11-inning win. They tied things up in the 9th, a 2-run homer by Jed Jerko, again, eventually winning the game in 11 innings. And Wainwright that night, not dominant. It was technically a quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs. I believe he struck out 5, but the 5 previous outings, he was downright bad. Winless in those 5 starts, a 7.36 ERA. Again, not dominant against the Phillies on Friday, but is it kind of accepted at this point? You know, you're talking about a guy that's 35 years old. It's just days away from turning 35, late August, his birthday. He's got more than 1,700 innings on that prolific right arm of his. And again, is it sort of accepted at this point that inconsistency and some Jekyll and Hyde is going to be a part of the package with Adam Wainwright, considering the stage he's at in his career right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unfair to expect Adam Wainwright to be the Adam Wainwright we saw in his prime when he was a perennial Cy Young Award contender before, you know, before all these surgeries that he's had. You know, that being said, I think the Cardinals and Wainwright himself, too, expect more consistency. Maybe he's not giving you 7-8 innings of one or no runs allowed, but he should at least, you know, in his eyes, be able to go out there every time and throw a quality start. I think what's been, you know, a little bit interesting to watch this year and surprising in many regards from Wainwright is the issues he's had with his mechanics. I mean, this is a guy who knows himself so well, and we've seen for so many years an ability to be able to fix things on the spot, really, you know, in the middle of an at-bat against a hitter. And now it's almost start-to-start he's having to make these adjustments. I do wonder if the workload of this year is beginning to catch up on him. Let's not forget that he threw only 28 innings in the regular season last year because of that Achilles injury, and now you're seeing him carry a full starter's load. So the Cardinals are hopeful he's not fatiguing, but I could understand that, you know, that could be an issue out there. But he expects to be better. The Cardinals, again, need him to be better atop that rotation. And I don't think it's, you know, it's unrealistic to expect a little bit uptick in performance. But again, I don't think we're going to get this to the Adam Wainwright of old.
And Jen, to wrap this one up today, update on Seth Maness. This is kind of interesting regarding him. Originally scheduled for Tommy John surgery, but there was a last-minute change of plans, and he did go under the knife, but it was not TJ surgery, if you can kind of explain that.
Yeah, I mean, always good news when there's a surgical procedure, the doctor opens you up and realizes that it's not as bad as expected. So instead of kind of replacing that ligament, they essentially repaired it in a way that probably should cut down the recovery time about half of what the Tommy John procedure was expected to be. So instead of looking at a 12 to 18 month recovery, Seth could very well be looking at more like a 6 to 8 month recovery, which if you look at the calendar, could, you know, in some regards put him ready to start pitching again early next year. So great news for the Cardinals, who as of a week ago expected to be pitching or playing the 2017 season without Seth Maness. Now he's back in that picture, certainly with a lot less recovery ahead.
Yeah, certainly some unexpected good news for a change for the Cardinals regarding their injury status. So that is certainly encouraging. Jen, we squeezed a lot into a little today. We appreciate the time and the effort as always. We'll do it again at this time next week, no doubt. In the meantime, Matt Wehbeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.